This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. This week, I'll be speaking to Amar Hazwan from local women's wear label, Petra.
Creating a mass production, RTW, is quite different from doing made-to-measure items or bespoke, because we really need to create what women want instead of what we want. It's always about what consumer wants.
After that, Florence Song stylist Adzalora shares with us her thoughts on this week's trend, 90s shoulder bags.
I'm pretty sure I could still find it if I dig really deep into my closet somewhere, because it was one of the first bags that I actually saved up for and bought for my own.
But first up, here's our fashion headlines of the week. They say fashion and music are like distant cousins, where the two intertwine between cross-sections of pop culture, music, art and fashion. This is more evident than ever in 2019, where fashion labels have been continually collaborating with musicians for their tour merch, or just merch in general without the touring. Japanese brand Neighborhood has teamed up with John Mayer once again to release one-of-a-kind pieces for his merch, including a variety of graphic designs inspired by racing car motifs, just in time for his Japanese tour. On the other hand, you have American brand Guess and rising Asian label 88 Rising in yet another collaboration. This time round, not for a tour, but just some merch highlighting the album of 88 Rising signee Joji's Ballads 1, which will be released in a capsule collection for this collaboration. This really goes to show how tour merch are starting to be limited edition, collectible fashion pieces in their own right, where fashion labels are jumping on this opportunity to show off their music taste through fashion. Speaking of musicians and fashion, Beyoncé has recently inked a new deal with Adidas in a move that will definitely boost huge amounts of sales for the German brand. In the new deal, Beyoncé will be overseeing the launch of apparel and footwear for the company following the relaunch of Ivy Park, her athleisure wear that was once sold at Topshop. The addition of Beyoncé solidifies the company's current roster, joining the likes of Kanye West and Pharrell, who have both received much success with their respective Adidas collaborations. According to Beyoncé, she labeled the collaboration as a partnership of a lifetime and gave Adidas props for having tremendous success in pushing creative boundaries. In a recent press release by Ivy Park, Beyoncé is said to be one of the first black women to be the sole owner of an athleisure brand. After the announcement was made, Adidas shares went up about 1.5%, an early hint to the excitement that will be incoming for this collaboration. That wraps up this week's fashion headlines. And now it's time for our style maker of the week, Amar Hazwan from Petra. Petra Ready to Wear was founded by three entrepreneurs, Amar, Anwar, and Shafiq, back in 2015. Famous for their frilled designs and vibrant prints, the brand itself aims for an exclusive glam-looking and modern ready-to-wear. Here in the studio, I have Amar, and he's the creative and managing director of Petra. First things first, how did Petra came about?
Petra started around somewhere in 2015. Back then, the online fashion hype was really, really overwhelming in Malaysia. We were studying at the same uni, UITM, and then right after we studied, we decided to open up this Petra, because three of us got a passion in fashion, and at the same time, we are really into doing a business. So we were just thinking about making money, but through fashions. Petra started because back then, affordable range of RTW is very limited. And then a few big names in the industry, like designers like Rizal Mans and all that, started their RTW. So we were thinking about producing a same direction of collections, just like other big designers doing, but we need to be more cost effective, because we targeted that our range should be more affordable and more approachable to all the women out there. So 2015 was like a very small step and baby step from us. But then when 2016 started, we really, really focus and then focus in producing mass RTW, mass productions.
I'm sure working closely as a team isn't easy, you know, especially when it comes to designing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what are your roles in the company?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so basically I'm leading everything. So right now me as managing director, and three of us are the creative director as well. Mm. So in terms of designing, three of us has the ideas.
Right.
And then, yeah, we have the ideas. And then we just put everything on the table. And then we'll start to mix match the ideas from Anwar, the ideas from Bubu, and then the idea from me. And then we just merge it together. So my role in the company, of course, I will oversee the sales projections, the overall designs. And then what campaign we're going to launch in that certain seasons.
Right.
So I started all the designing stuff, and then we sourced the material, the silhouette, get the right designs. So I passed to Anwar, which is the production manager, the production guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been handling stuff with production's factory. And then Bubu will assist on operation-wise. So when it comes to selling, three of us would do it together.
I assume Bubu is Shafiq?
Yes, Shafiq.
Why do you call him Bubu?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just the pet's name of his. I don't know why.
Right.
Why is Shafiq? Why is Bubu?
I mean, looking back when you first started the business, right? How different are your designs and clientele compared to now?
In the 2016, back then, our clientele was very young.
I think, your designs were very young.
The designs was very young. And then the design is more minimal and the design is more simple. Okay? So because our target market back then was students of like 18 to 22, somewhere that age. And then because the price range was kind of affordable for them. And then after we take in second years, we started to doing a more wide range and target market is getting bigger. So instead of doing for the young one, we started to do for, you know, mid-20s or mid-30s collection for ladies out there. So, of course, we've been doing research and R&D in terms of what this certain target market wants. In the collections alone, we need to have a collection design that's specific to be, this is for the young one, and then this should be for the mid-30s, or this should be for the mid-40s.
So designing for women isn't the easiest thing to do, right, as we mentioned earlier. But what has been the biggest challenge, you know, in running this business?
The biggest challenge is everyone is doing their own brands already right now. So the new brands are coming, and then they come with a better pricing, and then maybe because the overhead is low, and then yes, in terms of pricing wise, it was very competitive at the moment. And then in terms of materials and all, so everybody goes to China at the moment because China is like big market for fabrics and material. Sometimes we tend to clash the the fabric with the small brands. It tends to clash.
Why would you say that it clashes?
Because we buy at the same area, so it happens. Yeah, things happens like that. So we decided to make our own in-house spring. So the possibility to be to get clash is very low. Then actually, it's just the way. How do you handle it? The competition is very tough, but it's just the you need to find the right strategy on how to maintain and survive.
Yeah. I read that you guys are aiming for a semi-Muslima concept, right?
Yes, correct.
Why do you think you should, you know, achieve that concept?
Okay, you know what? Back then, 4 or 5 years back, Muslima modest fashion or Muslima fashion was very blooming in Malaysia. Okay, so back then, but we see the loop. We see that everybody wears jubah, everybody wears a very Muslimah attire, but there is no brands targeting the non-hijab market. So what we were trying to do back then, we tried to make a collections. We decided to make Petra aiming to the semi-hijab market. So for those wearing hijab, you can wear, and then for those not wearing hijab, also can wear our designs.
Since your brand established since 2015, you know, what's your marketing strategy back in the early days, you know, and how has it changed now?
Okay, back then, our strategy was only using influencers. It was very low-cost marketing back then. So we just using influencers and then...
But paying influencers is quite a lot as well, right?
It's already become a career for them.
Yeah.
Back then, it was just like a hobby, you know, I just pass my outfit and you...
Now it's OTV. Different.
Yeah, it is different.
They charge extravagant price.
Very, very high price at the moment. So that is the challenges, because back then, it's categorized under low-cost marketing, right? right now, oh, it's a carrier for them already. So we really need to find a strategy, or we try to create a win-win situations. Maybe I can promote them further, and then I can promote them to my followers. Mm. In return, they promote my outfits. We managed to get a collaboration from Zalora, I think in 2017. Yeah, because we started with very good branding. So they are aiming a commercial brands. My direction back then is okay. If we did not make any much sales, it's okay. But the branding needs to be consistent. The branding needs to look good. So Zalora decided to make a collaboration there where the business has started to very, very bloom. Yeah.
I've been speaking to Amar, Creative and Managing Director of Petra. Right after this, we'll find out more about their collections and their future plans for their company. Stay tuned, you're listening to Starfile on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Starfile. I've been speaking to Amar and we've been talking about how they got into the world of fashion. Now we find out more about their collections. Now, Raya is around the corner. Walk us through your collection called From Jodhpur in Rajasthan's Mughal Wall Art to the Wall of Chateau de Versailles collection.
Okay, for this Petra Lebaran 2019, I really liked the idea of merging the fashions and interior at the same time. So my inspirations was a bit dominated, influenced by the interior. So we decided to study on the wall paintings of old palaces and old castle like Chateau de Versailles. Mm. So we see a very nice wallpaper and wall painting on Marie Antoinette rooms. Mm-hmm. And then in Rajasthan, they have such beautiful fort and palaces as well, like Jodhpur Fort. The wall art is very, very beautiful.
What about Jodhpur and Chateau de Versailles that, you know, really attracted you to use it as an inspiration to put into your collection?
Yeah, I guess that place has souls, you know, that place has souls, and then it's pretty. Maybe I'm more intrigued with the interiors, the old interiors, the antique interiors. So the prints are most likely came from it, the antique prints. So we tried to make try and error on the prints, mm-hmm. the colors and all. So the flowers and as well.
Yeah.
So in Jodhpur, you will find a beautiful Mughal art. And in Versailles, the wall art are very dominated by beautiful florals, English florals. So these are the elements that consumers are trying to make it into prints. And this is actually what customers want. You know, the vibrant prints, the very feminine and demure prints.
Yeah.
So that's what women likes,
yeah.
by the way. Yeah. So, yeah, we managed to do that. And we got a good response from the consumers. Yeah.
What about the colors? What inspired you to come up with these colors?
Okay. On every single collection we've been produced, we need to take into account the color, the favorite color. Mm. We cannot simply make the color that you love the most. It's always about what consumer love the most. So in every collection, the colors like greens or like emerald, like black, it's very neutral and very the most favorite color.
Mm.
Yes, it could be blue, it could be nude as well.
So your colors follow the collections that you come up with. So do you follow trends? Like, you know, every year we have the color of the year?
No, we don't actually follow it. We don't actually follow because we rarely follow trends.
Mm-hmm.
So we set the trends. So because every year the consumer spending, the consumer pattern, the purchasing pattern, it would be the same thing. They would only spend on the colors, the favorite and safe color.
And the prints.
Yes, and the prints. So we try to merge into both. So we try to make the motif, the prints motif onto the favorite colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the fabrics? What kind of fabrics do you use most?
In the process of developing an R&D to use more comfortable fabrics.
Mm.
So the issue is always to be the pricing factor.
Mm.
The more comfortable, the more pricier it could get. And then fabrics like cotton, like linen, and like cotton polyester, crepe. We are trying to use this fabric, this favorite fabric and the comfortable fabrics. But in terms of designing, we need to make it more cost effective. So we can use the expensive fabric, but in terms of production wise, in terms of in the factory, in the detailing, maybe we can make it more cost effective. Thus, we can make better pricing on the items.
Do you have a team, you know, behind this particular brand? friend to work on your like sewing and, you know, or do you outsource them?
We are a small team. So there are three bosses and there are two staff, permanent staff, and then there are three or four interns. So three of us are working really hard, the bosses. And then, yes, we actually working with freelancers in terms of graphic designs, and we have a lot of creative friends in the industry. So we've been getting some ideas from them, getting some consultation from them. So from the some of the designers are also my friends. So I always come to them and ask their ideas and consultations, stuff like that. So
And for free, right?
Yes, for free. Exactly. So basically, I just been listening to the consumer perspective. So even my family, even my sisters, so they are consumers. So I need to hear from them. I need to hear their ideas. I need to hear what do they want. Because creating a mass production, RTW, is quite different from doing made-to-measure items or bespoke. Because we really need to create what women want instead of what we want. It's always about what consumer wants.
Looking at the price range on your website, you have amazing designs, definitely, and at a very affordable price too. Was that on purpose?
Okay, the purpose is because Petra tried to be the leader in the market, trying to be a leading brand in producing RTW for women. So when we talk about mass production, you cannot put a very high pricings because it needs to be accessible. It needs to be consumer-friendly pricing. So it would sell well.
I hear, you know, now that you've done with Lebaran 2019, I hear that you're also launching your Lebaran 2019 Volume 2, right?
Correct.
Tell me more about it.
Okay, usually what we do with Petra Lebaran Volume 1, we're going to launch at Zalora, and then it would be more glam. It would be more glam, I would say. But when it comes to Volume 2, we would tone it down a little bit. We will make it more minimal, more relaxed, the design, and then all the silhouette, more comfortable designs, and better pricing for the Volume 2, because less design and less pricey.
And on your website, you have a casual tab where we can find casual skirts, blouse, and even dresses. So do you plan to design more and, you know, have a wider selection, or is this just side add-on?
Yes, actually, the trending, the market is very tough in producing casual wear because you got the competition from other big fashion houses like Zara. You have competition from H&M.
Or the high street.
Yes, or the high street. Uniqlo came with such nice design and at very competitive pricings. So it's very tough for the local fashion houses to produce because we produce not as much as them. Our quantity is not as huge as mass as them. So the pricing-wise could be more competitive. And it's pricey to do the productions. It's pricey, but then you cannot sell it. You cannot get a good margin. Okay, so what we do is we're still gonna create and we're still gonna make some R&D and research how to make it less cost effective, because you need to compete with those big brands. And then it's really, I would say, a filler collections. Raya is where the basket is so huge on every Raya festive. That is where our major advantage, because we have Raya seasons. So those big brands, those big houses from overseas, they couldn't produce this niche. So it's very give that advantage towards the local designer to compete.
But would you say that your designs that you have are only saleable during Raya time? What about other days after Raya?
After this, yeah, we started with bridal collections. Petra also launched RTW Bridal for RTW with a less pricier price. You know, the wedding dress is quite expensive. We try to make RTW and the response was very good.
How do you make a wedding dress not so expensive compared to the rest of the brands?
Okay, it's all about the detailing that you use, the fabric that you use. Maybe we can use a less expensive fabric, but we make a good designs. So we make a good designs and then maybe a less embellishment, less detailings and all. The look, it's quite minimal. But then, I guess, they are market for minimal brides, you know? So Petra came up with the bridal range for minimal brides.
But why did you decide to do bridal wear? I mean, most designers are now into bridal wear, as we all know. Did you feel the pressure to do it as well?
Yes, I feel the pressure because there is no specific bridal season. People are getting married on every week here, okay? It's very different than Raya. So you can launch it anytime that you like. But the timing is all about the time frame, because we hugely focus on the Raya, but then our team is quite small. To separate a different team to produce is quite tough. So basically, I would do the work 6 months in advance.
Right.
Yeah, 6 months in advance to produce each of the collections. So the bridal, I don't feel the competitiveness, because we target the mid to high market. Mm-hmm. It's not all about the high-end market. It's all about mid to high. So the price range would be mid to high as well. I don't think there are brands that focus on this affordable range of bridal wear.
So what's your future plans now? Have you ever thought of designing menswear instead?
Yeah. For menswear, it's quite tough because I personally didn't shop online. But we're gonna start with menswear, and we're gonna be more focused on non-Raya collections. We will be more focused on casual collection as well. So yeah, we are getting there. We are planning for do our autumn winter collections and mm-hmm. our resort collection as well. So my planning would be annually we would be producing at least 4 fashion campaigns, 4 different collections.
Now, as for listeners, you know, how can they get their hands on Petra?
For our fans out there, you can get our collections at www.petrartw.com. We also have our stockists in Bangsa, which is Shoes, and Mutvier. You can also find our collection on Zalora website.
That was Amar Hazwan from Petra. Coming up next, Florence Song and I will be discussing this week's trend, 90s shoulder bags. Stay tuned. You're listening to Style File with me, Adeline Chung, right here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Style File, and it's time for this week's Star Shrink. Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, shares with us the comeback of a trendy item from the past, 90s shoulder bags.
Every 90s trend have wormed their way back into fashion. So the question really is, what's next? What's left of 90s fashion to squeeze out of it? So it's pretty much the short strap shoulder bag that has yet to be back in fashion, but it is now back in fashion. It was worn by Sarah Jessica Parker, Jennifer Aniston, Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie. Remember those bags? And it's one of those things that as a high schooler, I would go to Roxy and get one of those for myself.
That's
or
right.
If you have a bigger allowance, you go to Guess. That's where everyone would get there.
Wow, yeah. Back in the day.
It was those bags. It's one of those bags that it's not as small as like crossbody bag or one of the micro bags that's all the rage right now. But it's also a tad roomier and more practical, but not as big as, let's say, a hobo bag. So
I guess
great. When
we were younger, we don't have a lot to put in. It's
exactly.
only your phone and your purse. That's it.
I didn't even have a phone back then.
We never used to wear a makeup back then.
Yeah.
So you don't have to put your makeup
Maybe
pouch
just
inside.
Lip gloss.
And a packet of tissue, that's
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Tissue, always.
Why do you think this is a trend now?
Well, I think it has to do with Kendall Jenner and Bella Hadid, who was spotted with these kind of like 90s shoulder bags when they were at New York Fashion Week. Jenner was spotted carrying a black nylon Prada one, you know, the ones mm-hmm. that were all the rage.
Everybody would wear
Everybody it. Had one of those nylon Prada ones. And Bella Hadid took out like a black patent leather one and a really cool orange crocodile and both shoulder bags. So that's pretty much kind of sparked it. And also, you know, recently Fendi, mm-hmm. you know, their baguette bag that's like the ultimate shoulder bag, they pretty much also recently did a bunch of short films called The Baguette Friends Forever. So it features girl squads around the world made up of a whole array of international influencers. And there's even a cameo from world's most famous baguette fan, Sarah Jessica Parker, as Carrie Bradshaw. So that kind of like brought that resurgence back for those bags.
I think it's about time we got to take out our Roxy bags, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in Malaysia is wearing it right now.
No, I'm pretty sure I could still find it if I dig really deep into my closet somewhere, because it was one of the first bags that I actually saved up for and bought for my own. And it was pretty expensive for, you know, a high schooler. It was like 100 plus back then.
What color is yours?
Mine was white with a mint green Roxy Heart logo.
Mine was the denim material.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And it came with those little badges that you could customize.
That's
right. Yeah, exactly.
So how would you style it? This is definitely a day wear.
Yes, definitely day wear, unless you have a really tricked out, embellished one that you could possibly work for night. I mean, I would keep my outfit really simple. You could go very 90s. You could wear it with like a cardigan, wear it with jeans, wear it with boots, and then just put it over your shoulder. It's great for like when, you know, you want to just pop up to the grocery store for like some quick errands. It's great for when on the weekends when you're meeting your girlfriends. It's just one of those fun bags that you just like grab and go.
But just make sure you don't put too much in the bag or else it looks so bulgy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So do you think this is a particular trend that you would invest in?
I already have. So as usual, I like going to my bundle store. So I got a whole bunch from there.
Again?
Yes, it's perfect because it's exactly the same bags that was from the 90s because they're old, they're secondhand. And you get those vintage silhouettes that are so hard to replicate right now in stores. It looks authentic.
How much did you get it for?
₹5?
₹5?
Yeah.
Is there a brand for it?
There's no brands, but you just pick the ones that look the newest, the cleanest, the less scratched up ones. And they look great because, I mean, you have, I could get so many different colors and so many different materials to match with all my different outfits.
That's all the time we have for you this episode. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can revisit this episode on our podcast by downloading it on our website, bfm.my, or on our free BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. You've been listening to Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.